Welcome to today's Q2 2018 earnings conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star and 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, Wednesday, 15th of August, 2018. I would now like to hand the conference over to your speaker today, Mr. David Mullen. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator, and welcome everyone to Shelf Drilling Quarter 2 2018 earnings call. Joining me on the call today is Greg O'Brien, our CFO. On August the 14th, we published the Shelf Drilling Limited financial statements for Quarter 2 2018, as well as our latest fleet status report on the investor relations page of our company website. In addition to our press release and the interim financial statements, we also published a short presentation with highlights from the quarter. Given the level of transaction activity in 2018, we wanted to summarize our latest performance as well as the impact of the various capital raises. A recording of this call will be made available on our website within the next few days. Before we begin, let me remind everyone that our call will contain forward-looking statements. Except for statements of historical fact, all statements that address our outlook for the rest of 2018 and beyond, activities, events, or developments that we expect, estimate, project, believe, or anticipate may or will occur in the future are forward-looking statements. Forward-looking statements involve substantial risks and uncertainties that could significantly affect expected results. Actual future results could differ materially from those described in such statements. Also note that we may use non-GAAP financial measurements on the call today. If we do, you will find supplemental disclosures for these measures and an associate reconciliation in our financial reports. I will provide an overview of the company's performance in quarter 2 2018 and share my latest views on the jackup rig market. I will then hand over to Greg to walk you through the financials before we open the floor to question and answer. I would first like to begin with our safety performance. The key safety performance indicator, total recordable incident rate, has improved year over year with year-to-date recordable incident rate of 0.21. We firmly believe that an incident-free operations can be achieved, but only through more rigorous planning. Earlier this year, we launched an initiative that further emphasized improved task planning for our drilling and marine operations. We are seeing encouraging signs of improvement from what has already been an industry-leading safety performance. Our operational uptime of 98.3% for the first 6 months of 2018. The uptime was impacted by some startup issues of rigs returning to active operations in India and Nigeria. However, the past 2 months, we've seen an outstanding uptime performance of 99.4% and 99.5% respectively. Our six rigs in Saudi Arabia continue to deliver a top-tier performance in all categories as measured by Saudi Aramco for both quarter one and quarter two. Our two new builds, the Shelf Drilling Chapraya, the Shelf Drilling Krathong, continue to deliver wells with exceptional performance for Chevron in the Gulf of Thailand. And our four rigs operating in UAE, working for ADNOC and Dubai Petroleum, are incident-free and continue to deliver better than expected results on well delivery. We completed two Schedule G out-of-service projects on the Main Pass 4 and the Highland 2 for Saudi Aramco, more than 30% ahead of the original schedule time. In the case of the Highland 2, we were able to conduct the project offshore and on location using innovative ROV technology specifically designed for carrying out a U-Wald while drilling. In summary, we remain very focused on delivering safe and efficient operations to our customers while targeting further cost savings and efficiency gains across the organization. Since the last earnings call in May, Amni Petroleum executed a contract on the Trident 8 for 245 days with an option for an additional 110 days. The rig with shallow draft capability is uniquely suited for our customer's development program, which is scheduled to commence in Nigeria in quarter 1, 2019, upon completion of our upgrade and contract preparation project currently underway in Bahrain. With this award, all of our six shallow draft jackups are under contract. Following a multi-year downturn in the offshore drilling industry, there are indications across our markets of improving jackup demand. Brent crude oil prices have significantly increased from a low point of $28 a barrel in early 2016 to north of $70 a barrel for most of 2018. We believe this price stabilization at current levels, coupled with the lack of investment in new development projects, in recent years will stimulate an increase in offshore activity in 2019 and beyond. While competition among jackup contractors continues to be intense and market day rates remain at historical low levels, the global number of contracted jackup rigs has begun to gradually increase, growing by 8% from 311 rigs in January 2017 to 335 rigs in June 2018. Further, there has been a significant rise in tendering activity in 2018 compared to 2017 and 2016, which is expected to result in increased utilization in 2019 and beyond. In 2018, we have experienced an increase in market inquiries from our customers, particularly in Middle East and West Africa. We believe that we are particularly well positioned to benefit from any increase in demand for jackup rig services due to our excellent operating track record and competitive low cost structure. After securing the contract for the three premium jackups that we acquired from Seadrill in late 2017, we reached 100% utilization on our eight premium jackup fleet of rigs. We continue to evaluate options to expand our premium jackup fleet and have remained very disciplined around price and rig specification. We strongly believe there is more value in acquiring a rig with a proven track record versus a new build rig from a shipyard that often requires significant startup cost and typically has some teething issues during the startup phase of operation. We also believe there is a strong customer preference to have a rig design that is well suited to the area of operation with a rig with a good operating track record. In early July, we entered into an agreement with Diamond Offshore to acquire the 2008-built Shelf Drilling Scepter for $68.5 million. The rig is a Keppel-Fell Super B design with specifications complementary to our existing premium jackups and well-suited for our core operating regions. The rig has enjoyed a very good track record working for large national oil companies and independent oil companies. Specifications include 2 million pound hook load capacity and 6,000 barrels of mud storage. The rig has essentially the same operating capability as Keppel-Fell's jackup rigs built in the last few years, and our purchase price is 50% of the construction cost and less than 50% of some of the recent rig transactions from the shipyards. We took delivery of the rig in July 26th, expanding our premium jackup fleet to 9 rigs. As of June 30th, our contracted backlog is approximately $1,050,000,000 across the 28 contracted rigs, representing 78% of marketed utilization. We continue to see a solid pipeline of marketing opportunities, and we are in advanced discussions on several potential contracts that should be executed in the coming months. Total revenue for the quarter increased by $5 million on a sequential basis, from $147.5 million in quarter 1, 2018, to $152.5 million in quarter 2, 2018. The positive variance was primarily due to increased activity. The adjusted EBITDA increased $6 million on a sequential basis, from $49 million to $55 million. The positive variance was due to an increase in revenue. Last but not least, I would like to thank our investors for their participation in our recent financing transaction and initial public offering, and for continuing to place their trust and confidence in Shelf Drilling. Our focus on delivering safe and reliable services to our customers exclusively in shallow water market remains a differentiating factor in Shelf Drilling delivering continued strong financial results and securing new contracts. The series of transformational steps over the last 18 months, culminating with our initial public offering in the second quarter in Norway, has further enhanced our financial position and improved our fleet composition. The simplification of our capital structure and access to equity markets has positioned the company to pursue additional growth opportunities in the early stages of the recovery in the jack-up market. The day rate environment remains challenging, but we have seen a steady increase in utilization since the beginning of 2018. With a significantly improved commodity price backdrop, we expect further growth in the jack-up demand in our core regions into 2019 and beyond. With that, I will now hand it over to Greg to provide you additional detail on the Q2 financial results.
Thanks, David. I'll start with operating results for the period and close with details on our capital structure. Revenue for Q2 2018 was $152.5 million, including $144 million of day rate revenue, $5 million of mobilization and bonus revenue, and $3.5 million of recharges and other revenue. Revenue increased by 3% relative to Q1, primarily due to an increase of $8 million in Nigeria following the commencement of two contracts in Q1 with Chevron and Exxon and one contract during Q2 with AMNI, and a $4 million increase for the three rigs that started new contracts with ONGC during Q1 2018. This was partially offset by a $7 million reduction in Saudi Arabia, the result of the two planned out-of-service projects we completed during the quarter. Average day rate for Q2 was $68,000 a day, down slightly from $70,000 in Q1. Effective utilization was 67% in Q2, up by an additional 4 percentage points versus Q1, following the net increase in activity during the quarter. As a reminder, this reporting statistic, previously referred to as market utilization, is a measure of revenue efficiency for our active jack-up fleet in a given period and is impacted by three components: idle time for rigs awaiting contract opportunities, planned out-of-service time for rigs under contract, or any downtime during operation. Rig operating expenses fell by $3 million from $82 million in Q1 to $79 million in Q2. Following an intense period of contract preparation in late 2017 and early 2018, total rig operating costs of $79 million in Q2 should reflect a more normalized quarterly figure for our current level of activity. However, a portion of the expected relocation and reactivation costs for the Shelf Drilling Scepter will be recorded as one-time acquisition-related expenses during the second half of 2018. Shore-based expenses of $8.4 million were down slightly from Q1, bringing total operating and maintenance expenses to $87 million versus $90 million in Q1. General and administrative expenses increased significantly from $13 million in Q1 to $27 million in Q2, but included $16 million of non-recurring items. The primary driver of the sequential increase was an $11 million deferred non-cash charge for the vesting of shares issued in prior years and already fully reflected in the current number of common shares outstanding. We also recognized $3.9 million of one-time corporate transaction costs. Finally, the $4.5 million annual sponsor fee recorded to G&A terminated at the end of Q2 following our IPO. Adjusted EBITDA was $55 million in Q2 for a margin of 36% compared to $49 million and 33% in Q1. As anticipated, capital expenditures and deferred costs increased from $17 million in Q1 to $29 million in Q2. Spending associated with the three rigs we acquired in 2017 fell from $7 million in Q1 to $2 million in Q2, as all three rigs are now in operation. Spending across the rest of the fleet increased by $17 million from $10 million in Q1 to $27 million in Q2, primarily due to the planned shipyard activity for three of our rigs in Saudi and the commencement of the upgrade and contract preparation project that David mentioned for the Trident 8. Excluding acquisitions, CapEx and deferred costs totaled $37.5 million for the first half of 2018, or approximately $75 million on an annualized basis. The reconciliation to our cash flow statement is covered in detail on page 13 of the slide deck we published yesterday. Income tax expense was $4.3 million in Q2, or 3% of revenue. Interest expense was $27 million for the quarter, which included $7 million of one-time transaction-related costs. The net loss for the quarter was $37.4 million. Adjusted net loss was $15.5 million after removing the effects of transaction costs and the one-time non-cash share-based compensation charge. As David mentioned, we completed a series of capital raises in the last 2 months. In June, we announced an amendment to our revolving credit facility that extends the maturity date from 2020 to 2023 and increases the facility size from $160 million to $225 million. We appreciate the support from our five lenders in helping provide improved and long-term liquidity for the business. The facility is undrawn with only $10 million of bank guarantees outstanding. We also completed a $300 million tack-on offering to the senior unsecured notes originally issued in Q1. The proceeds were used to refinance the sale and leaseback obligations associated with our two new build rigs now operating in Thailand. Through the listing in Norway, we raised net equity proceeds of $216 million, which were used to fully fund the redemption of our $167 million preferred equity and partially fund the acquisition of the Shelf Drilling Scepter. Cash was $143 million as of June 30, 2018. Both the final settlement of the sale leaseback facility and the purchase of the Scepter occurred in July. Pro forma for these events, our cash balance and net debt were $58 million and $830 million, respectively. During the first 7 months of 2018, we simplified and improved the debt side of our balance sheet, converting five separate facilities into two. On a pro forma basis, we have only a single $900 million tranche of bonds with no long-term debt maturities before 2025. We've reduced annual fixed charges by approximately $50 million beginning in Q3 2018 and have $275 million of liquidity. We believe that our unique geographic footprint, differentiated operating cost structure, and robust financial position create significant flexibility for us moving forward. We'd now like to open the call for questions.
Operator, have you opened the line for questions?
Yes. Just a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be taken by an operator. And if you wish to cancel your request, you may press the hash key. Once again, star and one if you wish to ask a question. And our first question comes from the line of Eric Romesmo. Please ask your question.
Yeah. Hey, guys. Regarding the fleet or contract roll-offs later in 2018, could you maybe provide a bit more color in terms of what you expect there and, you know, in terms of potential extensions or new work?
Yeah, I mean, we're pretty confident that we'll roll over the contracts coming off. So I can walk you through a few of them. We have the Baltic coming off in Nigeria. We're pretty confident that will roll on to another contract in Nigeria. We have Trident 16 is rolling off contract in E&I with Petrobel in Egypt. And we're in discussion with them on continuing. There's a lot of noise on the line.
Sorry about that.
And we have Key Singapore. We're pretty confident that rolls on to a contract. We have the Highland 7 coming off at the end of this year. We're pretty confident that will roll on to another contract. We don't want to give specific details as to who and who we're actually negotiating with, but a lot of them will roll on with the existing operator.
Okay, that's great color. And then secondly, just on their idle fleet, again, not to predict too much, but should we expect all of the idle ones to remain marketed, or is there a chance that some of those go to cold stacking?
We've taken the rig 124 out of warm stack, and we're putting that in the cold stack because we don't see too many opportunities for that rig. We see opportunities for quite a lot for the other, the remaining warm stack rig. You know, whether they all go back on contract or not remains to be seen. I think that would be a best case scenario, but we're certainly optimistic on some of them. If you take the Key Hawaii and the Galveston Key, which are warm to hot stacked here in the Middle East, we're pretty confident that those rigs go back to work.
Okay, great. And just then the last one, more of a housekeeping item. On the Trident 8 and the upgrade in the prep cost, when should we expect that to be booked? Is that like Q3 or Q4 kind of item? And also, do you have a cost update on that?
That rig will go back to work in the end of Q1, maybe beginning of Q2 in 2019. The rig will be ready to work the end of the year. So if we find an opportunity to have a gap filler, we'll look at that.
And Eric, around the cost, you know, we moved the, it was, the rig was originally in West Africa. We moved it to the Middle East at the beginning of Q2. So, you know, with the round trip mobilization and some of the upgrades we're doing on the rig, it's around $15 million of aggregate cost. Some of that hits in Q2 in the increased CapEx and deferred cost number we mentioned. The rest of that largely hits in Q3. And as David mentioned, the rig should be back in Nigeria around the end of 2018.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much.
Your next question comes from the line of Martin Carlson. Please ask your question.
Hi. David, I think you appeared a bit more optimistic in the market commentary compared to earlier, and although we highlight pricing clearly is challenging, I wanted to see if you have started to see any changing bidding behavior out there and if there are any specific regions that stand out at the moment.
We continue to see strong activity, strong marketing activity in the Middle East, notably with Saudi Aramco, but not only Saudi Aramco. We're seeing a good level of activity in Qatar, and it's building. We're seeing activity in other regions in the Middle East. And Nigeria continues to be a lot of marketing information. We see quite a lot of opportunities developing in Nigeria and more generally in West Africa. India will see a tender come out sometime in the very near future. It's expected within the coming weeks. And it's still a little bit unclear how many rigs they're going to look for, but we understand it's going to be a minimum of 9 rigs, it's potentially more than that.
Good. And second question, you acquired the Scepter for a highly attractive price, and one of your competitors also recently acquired a premium jackup at a decent price. To what extent do you see opportunities for more asset deals in the same price range as we have seen recently? And as a follow-up on this, could you share some thoughts on your long-term capital allocation between growing the company and returning cash to shareholders?
Yeah, we continue to see that there are more opportunities to acquire assets. We are very selective. We have very much a preferred design that really fits into our geographical regions, and we're price sensitive. We're not going to pay a very high price for an asset. That's we will remain very price sensitive, but we do see more opportunities. And look, it's our ambition, as we reflected in the presentation material we sent out, before we bought the Sceptre, we have what we consider 8 premium jackups in our fleet, and we have 100% utilization on those. So we have capacity to add more premium jackups to our fleet and put them under contract. So we are definitely going to continue to look at those opportunities. With this recent equity raise, we took out the preferred equity note, so we cleaned up our capital structure, and we acquired one rig. We're using a certain amount of cash on hand as well as the equity raise. But we have ambitions to continue with this strategy and continue to grow our premium jackup fleet.
Hey, Martin, it's Greg. The only thing I would add, you know, there was another rig transaction announced in the last week or two. It was a similar rig, a working rig for about $85 million. You know, we do think there are potential acquisition opportunities in that general zip code, somewhere between $70 and $100 million. I think that's, you know, a product of the day rate environment still remaining pretty challenging. So we think, you know, short term, that's the most interesting way to think about allocating capital. If that starts to move materially, it's likely a product of the day rate environment being a lot better, and we should start to see some of that fall through to us. And I think longer term capital return would be, you know, a piece of the story. So it's not the near term focus. That's obviously something we'll continue to monitor, but we do think there is a window here to think about trying to add some additional rigs to the fleet.
Thank you. I'll turn it back.
And your next question comes from the line of Gibson Cooper. Please ask your question.
Yeah, hey guys, just back on the question of acquisitions, I'm just kind of curious what your preferred financing vehicles would be for any future acquisitions.
I mean, if you look at the two transactions we've done in the last year and a half, I mean, it was a majority equity financing for the rig purchases. The 4 rigs we bought, you know, did not have contracts. And the transaction last year, we funded the reactivation and contract preparation out of cash flow. Net, it was sort of 20 to 30% of the all-in cost was funded out of cash flow and leverage. And given where we are in the cycle, that feels like a reasonable mix, you know, largely the same with the Sceptre that we purchased this year. So I think anything else we do would require some level of external capital. It'd be difficult to purchase a couple of rigs with, you know, cash and resources. I don't think that's something we'd look to do short term. So given where we are, the market hasn't, you know, materially moved. I think we'd want to be somewhat conservative with funding structure.
Okay. And back on the Trident 8, great to see a contract there. I was just curious as to whether that those terms are additive to 2019 backlog day rate. Kind of share some thoughts on that.
I'm not sure what you mean by additive to it's a good day rate, and but not sure what you mean by additive to 2019 backlog.
Well, so 2019 backlog has an implied day rate. Just wondering if the rate on the current contract is in excess of that average. That's all.
It's a good question. I mean, 2019 backlog is currently weighted to markets where we have slightly higher pricing, places like Thailand, obviously with our newer rigs, and in Saudi. You know, we do think in general, you know, pricing in Nigeria is sort of better than the average across our jurisdictions. You know, we're not fully sold out for 2019. So what's in the backlog today isn't a perfect proxy for what average day rate would be next year. But as David mentioned, we think it's a good rate that'd be, you know, positive in terms of margin and cash flow, and generally above the average across the rigs in the various regions we work.
Okay. And then, David, what's the confidence level around the Sceptre, getting a Sceptre contract near term?
Yeah, we're confident. I mean, we wouldn't have bought the rig if we weren't confident. We feel pretty good about that. And it's, as I said, we have, in our mind, 8 premium jackups today, and they're all under contract. So we feel pretty good that we'll be able to place that rig under contract. And if I were to give a time frame, I'd say within the next 6 months. It's going to take quite a while to bring the rig into, we're At the moment, we're looking at transporting the rig from where it is, it's in the U.S. Gulf of Mexico, to the Middle East, and we'll start the reactivation project. So don't expect that the rig will go to work in the imminent future. It's probably, we're probably looking at something around end of H1 2019.
Got it. Okay, and I think you were undergoing a compact driller upgrade. I'm just curious as to where that sits and any contract outlook there.
That rig is warm stacked. We're looking at a few opportunities for that rig. More than that, I really can't say at this point in time.
But that's one, Gib. There's no active project underway. I mean, it's a quality rig, very good work history. We have, you know, bid that into a couple different contract opportunities, but we're not spending a huge amount of capital on the rig until we have a better sense of where it could go.
Okay. That's it for me. Thanks.
Your next question comes from the line of Lucas Daul. Please ask your question.
Thank you. Good afternoon, guys. I was wondering, the two rigs that you have classified as asset held for sale, do you intend to scrap them?
No. One of them is being held for sale for a non-drilling application, which is a mobile offshore production unit. And if the buying party, who's placed a small deposit on the rig, is going to execute it, he's waiting on the result of a tender process. The Trident 9 has been sold. We haven't finalized the proceeds, but a very significant down payment has been made. So we expect that to be fully executed in end of September. And that one is being sold for scrap.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then, David, you talked about some startup issues on some of the rigs that went back to work. Could you just sort of maybe talk a little bit more about what these issues typically are and how are they being rectified, etc.?
Yeah, we had a few startup issues on one of the rigs that we put back into contract with ONGC. It was an electrical issue. We solved the issue, but as with any electrical issue, it took a little bit of time. And the other one were some teething problems we had with the rig going back to work in Nigeria. But again, that one has been resolved. The rig is working fine now. I would qualify that by saying, you know, we've put an awful lot of rigs back to work without any issues. The Key Manhattan, which went back to work with E&I, went into operation, and it's been running at 99.8% uptime since it went into service in the beginning of January of 2018. So we drew attention to it because our uptime performance year to date, 98.3. Last year, we were averaging 98.7. It's not a huge delta, but I just wanted to explain that we're a little bit behind where we normally are. The last 2 months, we were averaging 99.4 and 99.5% respectively, which is pretty close to a near perfect uptime.
I think in general, it is fairly common to have some level of issues when you're starting in a new location with a new customer. We've always tried to get rigs into markets we think have a high probability of staying there and recontracting. So it's obviously not unique to us. It's common across the industry. I think the rigs that David talked about are doing quite a bit better after the first couple of months. So we think it was, you know, somewhat unique in one time to the first half of 2018.
Okay, that's a good caller. And then have you sort of changed your thoughts compared to last time where you think the utilization is heading towards the end of this year and somewhere midways through the 2019?
Things may have moved to the right a little bit, but other than that, I'd say no. I'd say high level, we still see that the utilization is moving slowly. It's improving slowly, and we expect that trend to continue into 2019. I probably gave a little bit more stronger guidance on the last call that we expected the uptick before the end of the year. I think it's pushing a little bit to the right. So we expect it more in 2019 than in 2018.
Mm-hmm. And when bidding for a new work, have you sort of experienced tenders where the operator would come back and ask for a sort of repricing, basically indicating that people have gotten a little bit more aggressive on when they are bidding for new work?
I mean, to be honest, we experience a little bit of everything. You know, you have situations where you can negotiate directly with the customer, and that's obviously a much better situation. You have situations where you're in an open tender, and you know, the customer keeps trying to cut it back a little bit more, and you have a situation where you're in a tender with select few others. So we have experienced everything. It is a highly contested market, but we, owing to, you know, the service we're providing, maybe somewhat unique capability we have in certain areas, we're in position in certain circumstances where we're able to negotiate directly, and that obviously is a better place to be than when you're competing with a whole lot of other people. And you're in other situations where you're competing with maybe a few well-established drilling contractors, that's a better place to be. And then you have the occasional tender where you're competing against a very large number of companies. I don't know if that's really answering your question, but we've seen a little bit of a mix of everything over the past 12 months.
Okay, I guess everyone is looking for, you know, that one single point in time when the inflection point occurs, but I guess nobody has a crystal ball, so thanks for your answer.
Okay, thank you.
And there are no further questions at this time. Please continue.
Okay, if there are no further questions, I'd like to thank everybody for participating in the call, and I look forward to our next earnings call. Thank you very much, and goodbye.
And that does conclude our conference for today. Thank you all for participating. You may now disconnect.